Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton. I am Jerry. Joining me today, I have Max and Terry. Terry and Max, the guys, we are the trio that will be bringing you Everton-based conversation today. Max, I feel like it's been a little longer since I've spoken to you. You doing okay, man?
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm up to me neck in me uni work, dissertation, things like that. So it feels like I'm serving a bit of a sentence, to be honest with you. I've got cabin fever in between the same four walls all the time, typing away. But it's part of the process, isn't it, what you sign up for. So that's why I've been a bit of a recluse lately.
I almost feel like there are times where, you know, university is kind of like training you just in case you have the kind of job where you'll be in the same room for a long time. It's like, just in case, we want to make sure you're ready for that, you know?
I know.
It's like not even just the intellectual situations. It's also the social aspects, which sometimes there's none.
Yeah. So. Mad the way education hasn't changed over like the last 150 years, isn't it?
I don't know. I will say it's kind of amazing. You get to go to a school like you get to go to. That is kind of awesome.
Yeah, it is. That's why I chose it. Really, it's cool.
Me being over here in the States, I'd never even heard of a football university. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here, a football university, immediately you're like, oh, LSU. Because
yeah.
It's a different kind of football.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that is you. The fact that you get to sit there and study all things football, like all the time, it's dead fascinating.
I mean, it's one of them that I suppose I'll weigh up post-grad to whether or not it's paid off, you know what I mean? Because as I say, like one of the constant things that I'm constantly talking about with my mates is that there's going to be a moment where it feels like it's all clicked and it was all for a reason. So like when I land my first job role or whatever. But yeah, as you say, that sort of, the unique selling point of it is huge. And looking back in retrospect now, obviously that the Guardiola City team was the first side since Ferguson's Man United to win the Premier League back to back. So for those 2 years to be the years where I was going to uni is pretty cool. Not so much this year, but the last two were good.
Well, awesome that you are back joining us, Max. Terry will be the third voice that you'll be hearing on this on the show. Terry, how are things with you, man? You okay?
Yeah, I'm all good, thanks. Really glad I'm not at uni anymore from listening to Paul Max's strained like hostage voice, because yeah, I've been there. It's awful. Have you got to the point yet where you're making little deals with yourself? If you do another, 200 words, then I get to watch an episode of that to take a break.
Worst. Rewarding myself with cups of coffee and all that.
Yeah, I did all of that. Like, if you finish tonight, when you're flagging, you tell yourself, if you finish this with, an extra so many words, then you can finish for the night and then you don't have to worry about it till tomorrow and you've still got an hour before you need to go to sleep, and that hour can be spent doing something else. And it's just months and months of that, but it's worth it in the end. I'd recommend one thing. If you can, try and book a holiday for not long after you finish, just to get it out of your system, and then you'll come back and go, right then, what next?
I'll try.
Well, do me a favor, let me know when you're booking that holiday so I can live vicariously through you, Max. I'm assuming you'll probably hit up Spain or something, and I'll just be looking at your pictures and drooling while my children are going, hey, take me somewhere, so... Yeah, my week's been interesting. I am currently, let's see here, so I've got my film production company that I'm working on, we're trying to finish up a few projects right now, and I've got a coaching gig where, I'm not only like helping run these clinics during the weekends where we're teaching kids like foot skills and everything, and I get paid for that, which is cool, but also they offered me my own team. So not only am I Bennett's assistant with his junior academy team, I've got a U15 team full of 14-year-old kids. And I just met them like last week. And our first match is Saturday. So it's like, and they're a good team, they're good players, but, you know, I'm having to sit there and not only get them up to date and brushed up on, like, foot skills and basic, like, fitness and everything, but at the same time, I got to be thinking, okay, dead balls. Does this team have – some of these kids have never played together before, and I'm like, okay, well, what are we going to do in a corner? I don't want to give up silly goals, so we have to actually discuss these things, map these things out. It's a lot to try to actually accomplish in just, like, four training sessions before your first game. So I was pretty overwhelmed with all that earlier this week, which is one of the reasons why, you know, I've kind of cut down on some of the recording. I was supposed to be like, I'm trying to shop for a new car. I'm cutting that to the side. I'm like, no, I can't think new car. I can't do that's too much work right now. Too much stress. I got to focus on these, on what's important, which is my, you know, my jobs and my fam. And right there, that's, yeah, that's what I've got enough brain power for. All this other stuff, I'm like, push it to the side. I'll have to worry about later. Just, you know, it's a lot like what you're doing, Max. It's prioritization and figuring out, like, what deserves my heart right now? What deserves what I have going on in my brain?
Yeah.
So.
Zonal marking for the set piece scenario, Jerry, and you'll be all right.
See, I'm doing kind of a combination zonal and man. You know what I mean? Because I'm a little hesitant to go straight zonal with these kids, and because I don't think they've ever done that before. And I'm worried about throwing them something that's just too new with, like, zero training. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I was saying that as a bit of a Marco Silva-esque joke, to be honest with you.
Okay, I thought you were kidding, but I was like, I want to make sure.
Fresh air doesn't score goals, players do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a couple of people, like, marking certain spots, but the rest are just man-marking. So, yeah. Just kind of doing both and trying to learn.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
How does man marking even work? Is it like you mark your opposite number? Like, is it before the game, or do they get given a player each? Or, like, do they just say, right, if you're the centre-back, you mark the centre-back and that kind of thing? Or do they get told, you mark Tom and you mark, you know, Dominic and whatnot? Like, is it decided who each player will mark beforehand, or do they just have their opposite number?
Wouldn't that vary from team to team? You know what I mean? Like, I'll tell you, like, I don't know the other teams we're playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the small, lower levels, so I have no clue. But, I mean, you may have more insight about the, you know, like, what Everton does.
I'd say it'd be, you know, variant on the level of professionalism that you're playing at, really. So, like, if you've got access to that information of you know, squad lists, etc., then I suppose, you know, you would either apply that.
I would assume that, like, obviously the top tier teams, like the professionals, will, like, you know, before the game, you know, you mark him, you know, like, there'll be specific players who they've got to pick up. But I did actually mean, like, specific for, like, Jerry, where you don't know the opposition players and whatnot. So I would assume it'd just be like, you just mark your opposite number. If you're the left back, you mark the right, you know, the opposite right back who you're against, and so on.
I think what we'll probably do is, you know, we'll have one of the zonal positions will be specific to our best header of the ball. You know what I mean? The place where it's more likely the ball is going to go there. And then the rest of it will be based on, like, height. You know what I mean? So our tallest guy gets their tallest guy, and just be smart about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That just, you know, it's because they're old enough to be able to look around and make these kind of decisions, I would hope. I'm still going to talk to them about it, but they're pretty sharp kids. But that's I don't know if it would be a situation where, because when they're sitting there lining up for a corner, they may not remember who exactly is the center back.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they may have a tall striker as well. So it may not be – so I wouldn't really think of it as positionally and more just based on danger. You know what I mean? Who's more dangerous from a set piece?
Are you going to be brave and leave a man on the touchline? Like to
– you mean like on the near post?
Halfway line, I mean. Like to,
yeah, oh, no, yeah, one.
Got
to
do that. Everton went years one. Without doing that. I remember under Moyes we'd never do that, and it was always sort of grind me gears.
Always going to have one right there. So if somebody can sit there and launch. Now, I know that our director of coaching for this area is not a very direct. He doesn't really like to play direct. But I like to catch the opposition, you know, napping often. So every once in a while, I do want to send it long, but I don't want to just be a long ball merchant though. I like to mix it up. You know,
need the fastest player on that touchline. So if you get it, you can just put it over the top and have a flatter foot race.
Mm-hmm. I love it. All right. Well, I feel like I need to be talking to you guys about my team every week. So this needs to be an ongoing thing. This particular week, you know, I'm sitting here like struggling with like positions and trying to think it out. And it helps just say it out loud. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really does. Just saying things out loud. Yeah. So anyway, speaking of saying things out loud, we have a podcast to do. Hey, segue. Brilliant. I worked on that one all night. So here's the way it's going to go for podcast listeners out there. That means you. We're going to start out talking about someone who has, I don't know if surprised is the word, but impressed and maybe surprised some folks. Mason Holgate. Guys hitting a really good run of form. And we're going to like say nice stuff about it. Yay. So then we're going to have a match preview. Palace is coming up, so we need to discuss that. And we're going to finish with a quiz. This is a starting 11 quiz. Starting 11 and subs that played. So these two gentlemen will duke it out. Two men enter, one man leave. That kind of thing. Okay, so let's move on. Mason Holgate sees himself as a starting center back for us right now. He's starting center back every single game. And he's played, I remember this was a truth bomb dropped on me. I feel like, Max, you may have been the one who dropped it, basically saying he's played like every minute ever, except for when he's played center mid, which he actually did fill in some this past weekend, just proving himself to be really reliable. I remember previously I had issues with Mason Holgate's concentration. He would play well, and then he'd slip up and do something silly. And we don't see a lot of that this time around, or much of any of it, actually. And I think some have even been advocating him as a possible starting center mid for us, because he's done well, and because our center mid depth is not great either. We're just kind of, two positions he plays, we happen to be thin at both because of injuries. So, so guys, let's talk a little bit about Holgate. I think at the beginning of the season, we were kind of not sure what we had at the moment, or we felt like we knew, and he had been on loan at West Brom playing as right back, and people had discussed him as right back depth for this season. So, Max, you seem like you're chomping at the bit.
I love Mason Holgate.
So you go. What you got?
I love Mason Holgate. Huh? I always have.
Yeah.
I always have loved Mason Holgate. Obviously, there's just that same career path as John Stones there, coming through the Barnsley Academy and making the early switch over to Everton. But I don't know. I know there's obviously that the point of contention where's his best position. And I think even early on in his career when he just signed for the club and we were getting like glimpses of him at right back, it might be a blunt assumption to make, but I just don't think he's got the physique to be a right back. He carried it off astutely in the Championship, because I'm going off David's recent article on Mason Holgate. I'll give that a quick read before I come on. And you look, Dave's got his heat map from when he played at West Brom, and up and down that touchline, which was something I didn't think he'd necessarily be able to do given his physique, just given that he's just slim and tall. But I think as he's proved definitely this season, in those central areas, he can be a real force to be reckoned with. I know I hit you with that stat in terms of his success of games, and this season it's over 2,000 minutes at centre-half, which I think it's something that you do need to bring up when you know discussing Mason Holgate, is that he's dislodged Michael Keane from his starting position, which, not to sound harsh, but it wouldn't take much, because you know Michael Keane, and you could even say Yerry Mina up until these recent weeks hasn't been blowing anyone away. As you said, Jerry, rightly so, we have been thin in central midfield, central defence. But I think the fact that Mason Holgate stepped up and really asserted himself, particularly in the post Silva under Ferguson, he was exceptional, and Ancelotti seems to have taken to him with just as much eagerness to get him involved and get him playing minutes. And I think someone of Ancelotti's calibre to be seeing that in Mason Holgate speaks volumes of what he could, you know, where he could potentially go. It's quite comical. I keep seeing all like the little fanboy accounts calling him Mason Maldini now, which he wouldn't go that far. I don't think he's Paolo Maldini reincarnated, but just that you know, that ilk of player, I'm just a huge fan of a player who's not shy to be on the ball. He's always showing he wants to be in control, and he's improving game by game. I think a stat that they've come out in his piece is, in terms of defensive duels, he ranks 8th out of all the centre halves in the league. And you've got the likes of Tomori, Van Dijk, you know, your upper echelon of centre halves who are there. And I think just given Everton's current situation, where, let's be honest, I mean, I know we've seen an upturn since Ancelotti's come in, but it's still not great. It's, you know, it's not where we want to be, and we're not exactly seeing the football that we want to see. So for Mason Holgate to be a standout of these last few months, I think it's really promising.
Yeah, the consistency, he's consistent. He's bringing not just the snide he used to bring. We were used to him bringing, like, you know, being savvy on the ball, not being afraid. But at this point, I think it's helping him that Ancelotti has liked to, you know, play out of the back a decent amount. He's getting the center backs involved more, and I feel like that's helped Mason Holgate as well, as far as concentration, being a part of the game more.
Definitely.
You know, being a part of the build-up more, you know? So Terry, as far as Mason Holgate's concerned, go wherever you want to go with this. I have a few questions, but I have a feeling you'll look at them and go, I have a Terry statement. So where do you want to hit up as far as Mason Holgate's concerned? Because he has proven himself to be solid in center mid, but he hasn't played there a lot. I know that's where I think we hear a lot of people saying he might even start there this next match. I don't know. We'll talk more about that in the Palace segment. But go wherever you want to go on this.
I just think I need to put my hand up and say I was a Mason Holgate doubter. Like, my position on Holgate for the longest time was he needs to, you know, get a run of games, maybe not even at Everton, and see how he does. And obviously he went out to West Brom, but I was a bit disappointed when he went to West Brom that he was playing right back, and I was thinking, he'll never be a right back here. We've got other right backs, and I want to see him at centre half. And then as soon as I made, like, sort of me mind up on him, which was around the Lincoln game in the Cup this year, I was like, yeah, I've made my mind up. He's not good enough. I just don't think he's going to make it. And how wrong I was. He's had a massive turnaround since then. And I sort of look at him the same way I think I look at Calvert-Lewin. I think this season they've had that season where the both of them have gone from being a young player to being a senior player, like, and deserved first teamers. That, you know, nobody can look at either of them two now and see them as some of the younger players, because there's younger players in the squad than them. If you look at, you know, up front, Moise Keane and Dominic Calvert-Lewin is several, you know, a couple of years older than him, so you can't look at Calvert-Lewin and say he's the young striker anymore. And same with Holgate. You know, the other players of the club, you look at, you know, Lewis Gibson, now Jared Branthwaite and whatnot, you're going, yeah, he's been at the club several seasons under several managers. He's now one of the senior players. Is he good enough? And going off recent form, you'd have to say, yeah, he's been fantastic since the change in manager. He's just had everything we needed from a player. He's tenacious. He's up for a battle. You know, the proper Everton player qualities. But I think the biggest thing that's helped him this season is his pace. He looks fantastic because every other centre-back is slow. And he's even looked good at centre-midfield because all the midfielders are slow. So he goes into centre-midfield as like an emergency role for Man United. And every time he's gone in since, he makes the rest of the midfielders look terrible because he can get around quicker than they can. And and he's, you know, the difference confidence makes. Like, he's, you know, he's making better passes with the ball, better decisions. He's not losing it like he used to with his concentration. That's because confidence is flowing through him, and he wants the ball a lot now. He doesn't want to, you know, I've always thought, even when I was unsure on him, that he's better the more involved he is. And I think I said that when we were talking about him earlier in the season, you know, what he's like as a midfielder. The more touches of the ball he gets, the better he is. Against Watford, the one of the pressing triggers for Watford was when the two centre-backs got the ball, and you could just see that Yerry Mina struggled more with it than Mason Holgate. Mason Holgate would just beat the press every time. He'd just come away from them and release the ball with a decent pass, and that's what... when he was playing well for us, that's what John Stones used to do. You couldn't press him. He was too comfortable in possession. Whereas the centre-backs who aren't comfortable try and get rid of it and under pressure and you know, sometimes make mistakes. So he's in a purple patch now. And I'm really happy to see that we're going to open new contract talks with him, because I thought we were going into this season with 2.5 centre-backs. I was unsure on Holgate, and he's currently in the best form of all the centre-backs, and not just that centre-back. He's played everywhere, hasn't he? Like, obviously, centre-midfield, centre-back. He's played right-back and left-back for periods of games. He's just one of those players that squads need. Like, the best teams and the best squads have those utility players who can, you know, cover, you know, when there's an injury and there's no natural fit for the, you know, the injured player, you know. Like, left back's a good example. He's a right footed centre half, so left back for most players like that would be really uncomfortable, and he doesn't look it. So yeah, put my hands up. I was a non believer, and now I've been converted.
I think what's worth mentioning as well is that willingness to take responsibility from it is a weird one, because you want to call him a young player, but just by virtue of being at the club for so many years, you would consider him as one of the more senior figures in the squad. You know, similar to Calvert-Lewin, similar to Tom Davies. If you'll allow me, I'd just like to brush up on me statistics, because I did get one of them wrong. I mentioned Van Dijk in the defensive duels. I said he's eighth out of the centre halves in terms of his defensive duels success rate. Ahead of him are Hanley of Norwich, Dawson of Watford, Evans of Leicester, Stones of City, and Tomori of Chelsea. So surprisingly, Van Dijk isn't anywhere to be seen. But that Watford game, like you were saying, Teddy, was absolutely massive. He won 7 of his 8 defensive duels, 6 of his 8 aerial duels, and made 17 possession recoveries, which I think is an absolute monster of a stat. That's massive.
That's so good. So, oh my gosh.
I love it. And I mean, I know we're Everton fans, and you know we're not meant to support the national team and all that, but I think it warrants an England call-up.
I'm
with you on that.
He deserves it. Like, he might be unfortunate that we're so close to a tournament that the manager doesn't want to introduce new players at that point. But obviously, I don't, like yourself, don't care if they ever play for England. But I'm happy when they do, because they like it. Like, it's a big deal to them. It's part of their, you know, career ambitions. And he, at the minute, is one of the best English centre-backs. Not just over a 2 or 3 game spell. He's been doing it over a couple of months. He's been absolutely colossal. And he's deserved it. And he would fit right. You know, he wouldn't look out of place at an international level, which is crazy when you think going into the season, we were worried that, you know, will he be good enough cover for the players we've got? And he's absolutely left Michael Keane, who started the season as an England centre-back, in the dust.
To where Michael Keane is just sort of coming in late to shore us up at the very end of games. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, just to plug in, you know. Come on in, Mike. Help us plug up a little bit. Help us condense the middle, you know. But, Holgate is a player, like, when we first brought him in, I was actually concerned about his size more than anything. I feel like every time a young kid comes in and we buy a young center back, I'm always worried, okay, are they going to be too thin? Because I feel like it's such a physical league, you know. I was worried about his size. I was worried about his strength and height. I knew he was really poised on the ball, and he was great on the ball, but I didn't know how he was. But he's tenacious mentally, And I actually think that a decent amount of that covers up for some of the, you know, what he lacks in some of those other players, other areas. I think it's hard to make up for height, but I also think, what is he, 6 feet? 6 foot one?
Something like that.
Something like that?
Yeah, he's
which
tall
is,
for a center back.
There's a lot of good center backs. Yeah. I mean, he's not short for a center back. He's short. I feel like when I look at a picture of him, it seems like he should be short. And then I look it up and I'm like, he's not that bad. You know? Yeah, but he's a player where I've always had confidence when he had the ball. It was always when players were cutting past him, breaking behind him, was he going to actually see them.
Yeah.
That happened too often last season, especially.
I remember the West Ham game last season at home when they beat us 3-1. I think that was Marco Silva's first home loss as Everton manager, and I think Yarmolenko gave him a tour at the time, and I think that was a catalyst to putting him out on loan to West Brom. But
I think you're right.
Like all good players, I think he's reacted exceptionally well. And try this one on for size. I've seen his management company put out a little media activity thing that he did with them. And he's just hitting them with questions like, what's your favourite this, what's your favourite that? And he was asked, they were Sergio Ramos. So I think that explains the treatment of Firmino in the derby.
Nice. Okay, I feel like we should end with that because that should say enough. So you guys good? Anything else on Mason Holgate? Yeah, I feel pretty good about him. And I'm really, really excited to continue building on that core of young players that are brutally talented, very confident and skilled, and excited that he's starting to fill out and work out well at Everton. It's awesome. So I guess that's it for our Mason Holgate, let's say good stuff about him segment. So we've got Palace coming up. They are visiting Goodison, so that's cool. Always love a home game. Their current form right now, they're 14th in the table with 30 points. They're 7-9-9. Recently, they lost to Sheffield 1-0. They lost to Southampton 2-0. They drew 2-2 with City, and they drew 1-1 with Arsenal. Possible starters, Guaita, who actually had a little bit of a not the best game recently against Sheffield, but I think he owned up to it and was like, hey, I'll do better. So there's that. Ward, Tompkins, Cahill, Van Aanholt. And then it's going to be they've been running a 4-3-3 lately. So I think you may see Kouyaté, Milivojevic, or MacArthur, or you may see James McCarthy in there for one of those. So, yeah. Then you got Townsend, Jordan Ayew, and Zaha. I think danger men, we're looking at their front three, Van Aanholt coming down the wings, and maybe Benteke coming in because he's pretty good in the air. So, guys, where do we want to start on this? Terry, I think it's your turn to start. What do you, any concerns about Palace, anything at all, where you're thinking, okay, this is where we need to worry, or are you feeling okay? Do we ever feel okay? That's a serious question.
No, never.
No.
Results like that Newcastle results happen. When can you feel okay?
Yeah, right.
Being the two whistles, I'm never okay. Same as every game at the minute, really. Central midfield. I think their central midfield has probably got the beating of ours, which is just bad. Really, because one of them's a player we sold to them. But when you think of like mobility and work rate and whatnot, I think James McCarthy, Coyote and Milivojevic got the beating of Schneiderlin, Sigurdsson, and probably Tom Davis as well. Yeah, Delph's going to be banned, isn't he? So he can't play, but they probably have the beating of him too. So up front, it's Zaha, isn't it? He's the danger man. He's strong. He's fast. He can score. He's their best player. The other players, a little bit hit and miss, Townsend and Ayew, but the centre midfield is what I really worry about. I think our right hand side, their left, will be something to watch, because it'll be Sidibe versus Van Aanholt, and the two of them like to go a bit mad and, you know, go on long, you know, high presses up the pitch and whatnot. So could be a bit of a battle, that one. But yeah, centre midfield, we've not got a lot of strength in there. We've got players, we've got bodies, but I don't really have a lot of faith in any of them. The ones who aren't injured, anyway.
Yeah, I think I would have to agree with you on these centre mid concerns, because Andre Gomes, he's not back yet. Yeah.
Especially if
yeah, I did like the pronunciation thing, by the way. I should just say Andre Gomes.
Especially if they play three players. Like, we struggled with that against Watford. They had three players in the middle, and we were getting overrun in the middle quite a lot. It's one of the sacrifices you make for playing 4-4-2. And obviously, yep. Watford have, you know, big physical players in there. And, you know, Palace won't be quite as strong as that for that. But I still think we'll struggle, because, ironically, Delph, as, you know, poor as he's been at times, of the centre midfielders we've got fit, he's still the most mobile and the most, you know, able to get around the pitch. So now we're going to have probably the two training cones starting, and Tom Davies come off the bench.
Max, where do you want to go with this, man?
I've got a lot of admiration for Crystal Palace. Like, out of the London sides, I'd probably say the club that I like the most, almost. I think they've got a tremendous fan base. They always turn up in numbers and they make a lot of noise. Traditionally, I've never viewed Palace as an easy game. Like, even when they've come off in the Championship in the past, like, they always play a low block and they're hard to beat. I particularly remember in the 13-14 season, dropping points against them in that run-up where we were trying to get the Champions League. And I think we dropped points to them away, and we got beat by them at home when it was really crucial to beat them. And that was one of the results that ended up cocking up any hopes of Champions League for us. But, I think when you're talking about Crystal Palace, you've got to put a huge amount of respect on Roy Hodgson's name for what he's doing. Like, every season it seems he's battling relegation, and they seem pretty, well, I'm not going to say cut and dry, but they seem to have a decent sound distance between themselves and relegation at the minute. 14th, aren't they, Jerry? 14th, 30 points.
14th.
30 points, which is only 3 points off us.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think we'll be taking this lightly by any means. Hard team to beat. They had that City game away at the Etihad where Cenk Tosun got on the end of a James McCarthy corner, which was just bizarre. Didn't know James McCarthy could take corners like that. It was a very, very good corner.
Wish we had known.
I know, and then they played Arsenal, where Jordan Ayew's come out with one of the goals of the season. If you remember that goal, slight downturn in results since then. But as I say, still 14th, good distance between themselves and the relegation zone, which, as we were discussing before the show started, as an organisation, Palace's objectives certainly are to prevent relegation and to stay in the Premier League for all the financial benefits that carries. So, as I was saying, yeah, I think Roy Hodgson's done a really good job. And, yeah, bring it on. I think I'm going to take some respite from all these words and take myself down to Goodison to go and see it. And, as I say, I expect to have a lot of the ball, and a lot of probably going to be very frustrating in equal measures. But I feel like I say this most weeks about Everton. We should have enough quality to outdo them, but it's never that easy.
No, especially, I don't know. It's interesting. I've come to feel like our performance at home, I just sort of expect different things. I feel like when we go away, I'm just hoping, like when we played, when we were at Watford, I wasn't like overly impressed with our play overall. You know, I walked away from that one and I was thinking, you know, it's nice to, you know, get a win like that when, you know, did we deserve it? But then again, what does that mean, deserve? You know, but that's the thing. Good teams, when they're beginning to hit a good run of form, they win games that maybe they probably should not win. I don't know if we're classified as a good team or not right now, but starting to pull points. You know, we've given away some points from winnable locations as well. So putting the shoe has been on both
yeah,
feet.
We're second,
at, is
we're
what
second in the form table, Jerry, didn't you know?
Which is so nice. Yeah, I mean, I checked that out, and I was, and I will say, like, I don't know that Palace are doing great in the form table right now compared to how we are. But I always feel like when we play at home, I'm just I expect us to go at teams. That's what I feel like I'm expecting out of this one. But if they do play that low block, like you're talking about, I'm curious to see how we penetrate. How good is our pick? Because we've, you know, if we have a Wobi coming off the side or Bernard, because Ancelotti has those wings tucking in and actually giving us some penetration on the inside rather than just flanks every time, flanks.
Yeah.
So I'd be really curious to see if we can penetrate.
Yeah,
you know?
It'd be lovely if we could see some success in that regard rather than frustration, because how many times have we seen this season, you know, trying to work it from out wide, cutting in and just coming up against the brick wall.
Yeah.
So again, the it's not an easy feat, but you would like to see players such as Bernard 10 on the twinkle toes for this game.
Yeah, that's if he starts. And let's get into starters. Actually, I was going to lead with you, Max. Max, you're about to he's about to start talking starters. So Max is going to do starters now, and then we'll go to Terry and myself. So what do you got, Max?
Go on. I'm going to get the. I haven't penned anything down, so I'm just going to have a quick glance at the Watford team. I mean, I don't know. I'm on the same wavelength as you, Jerry. I don't think we play particularly well against Watford. I don't think it worked. That the you know obviously by going two goals down and having to claw it back in that. At the time of the first half, just goes to show I did think we got it a bit wrong. Pickford, Sidibe, Mina, Holgate, Dean. Again, I'm just thinking about the central midfield dilemma. It's not a pleasant thought process at all, because there's flaws in every sort of combination that you pick. There's no defensive cover in Davies and Sigurdsson whatsoever, but I think that's what it's going to
no.
be. I would like Bernard to start. I know it's probably going to be a Wobi, but he was substituted in the last game. I'm going to go Bernard and Walcott out wide, although I don't think Walcott played particularly well. He was one of the main culprits against Watford, coming up with that last minute winner. You know, you've done enough to secure your starting place there. And, you know, the usual lads up front, Richie and DTL.
Nice.
That midfield, just,
I know.
Shaky, innit?
Yeah. Yeah, we're all kind of, it's funny, you're sitting there writing down your lineup. You're like, la, 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 these are good names. And then you get to the midfield and you're like, damn, somebody has to play.
Well, did you see him? Bizarrely, which blew me mind when I read it, that Ancelotti said Gomez may be in contention for the Arsenal game.
Arsenal, yeah.
So it's like 2-3 months out from a dislocated fracture of his ankle and he's back. What a man.
It's nuts to
what
me.
What a man.
I thought Gbamian was going to be back before that.
Yeah, he got another surgery.
And
another surgery.
Yeah. Poor guy. Mm. Jesus. So, Terry, what do you got, man? Very, very similar names for the most part?
Yeah, more or less. I think it's only one player different. So it'd be Pickford, Sidibe, Mina, Holgate, Dean, central midfield. I think it will be Schneiderlin and Sigurdsson.
Oh, I bypassed Schneiderlin altogether there. I'm sorry, but it probably will be.
Yeah, that's. I have the same. Right there,
yeah.
By the way. So yeah,
Schneiderlin. I think it'll be Schneiderlin and Sigurdsson, the dream team of that cup. You know, the men who bossed that game. I think he'll probably. I'd like to see Bernard start on the left, but I think it will be Iwobi again, because he's still getting to see Iwobi, isn't he? And Walcott on the right, Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin up front. So I think that's only two different from Max.
Yeah, I think all of mine are exactly like yours, Terry. Pickford, Sidibe, Mina, Holgate, Dean, Sigurdsson, Schneiderlin. I've written down Iwobi/Bernard, but I do think it's going to be Iwobi at the moment. It wouldn't surprise me if it is Bernard, though. You know what I mean? If he's sitting there thinking that Iwobi is coming off of injury, it would be his first match back. Maybe he wants a little rotation. It would not surprise me, because it's not a situation where Palace are as big and as physical as Watford. Remember, we were talking last week about how we were concerned about Watford because how they were bigger and physical, and that to me is reason enough for Bernard not to start. But if they're not as physical, I could see it. I could see Bernard playing, and I'd be fine with it. Really, why not? You know, I mean, he gives us an additional penetrating option from the left, which Iwobi's good at from that spot, and so is Bernard. So, I written down Iwobi, but the more you say it, Max, Bernard, I could see it. And Walcott, Richarlison, DCL. So, that's pretty straightforward. Anything else before we lay some predictions on, guys?
No.
All right. So, Terry, what's your prediction, dude?
As good as Palace are away from home, we're pretty, you know, barring the odd occasion, pretty solid at home. So I'm going to go with a 2-0 win. Be a tough game, but I think we'll win.
Okay. Max, what do you got?
I'm going to say 1-1. Just to sort of under-promise and hope that they over-deliver, you know what I mean? Yep. I've just... After that Watford win, it's just very evident of us not to continue the momentum, I'd say. I don't know. I'd love to see us... As you say, Jerry, when it comes to Everton at home, I think, right, every team that's outside of the top six, we should be blowing out the water, but it hasn't proved to be, so...
No.
fingers crossed he turn up, eh?
Yeah. Usually when we do these match preview predictions, when all three of us pick a win, that's when to beware. Mm. You know what I mean? It's almost as though all of us are looking past the team we're playing, so... The squad ends up doing the same thing. It's like a group mentality kind of thing. Usually, I'm so glad, Max, that you picked a draw. I have a 2-1 win for Everton. I think it will be a close game. It's hard for me to imagine a clean sheet. It's hard for me to imagine clean sheets these days. It just is, you know. But I can imagine a win. I'm hoping that we're riding some good momentum, some positive momentum. But Max, I'm really glad you picked the draw to not give us a sweep of winning predictions. So, yeah, good. I'm not superstitious or anything, but yeah. All right, cool. So, 2-0, 1-1, 2-1. Those are the predictions. We'll see. Are they right? Sometimes, you know. So I guess that's it. Nothing else on this match preview, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for If You Know Your History, the Everton Base quiz segment that pits Terry against Max in a cage match of Toffee's Wit and Might. Guys, it's a starting 11 quiz, so that it's a little bit of a misnomer because you also have to name the subs that played. Basically, what's going to happen, for those of you who have been living at the bottom of a well, these guys will be... We'll be naming the starters and subs that played in a match that I will tell them in just a moment. It's a match from the past. So these guys, because they've been, you know, following Everton since they were very wee, they'll probably know all these, and it'll have to come to some sort of tiebreaker. That's what I just assume. And now I've set you guys up. Yeah, there you go, guys. I made the bed, now you lie in it. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to flip a coin. Terry never gets to call it, so I'm going to ask him to call it. All right. Max, you'll call it next time. That's how this works. Okay. It's not the biggest advantage. This isn't Price is Right going first. So, yeah. So, Terry, here's my Martin Sheen plastic coin. Heads or tails? Call it in the air, friend.
Tails.
It is tails. Do you want first or second?
First.
I know. So, Terry's going first. Max is going second. Let me make a little
grid here that's incredibly scientific. Cue intense quiz music. Oh, wow. So intense. Goodness gracious. It's like watching a Hitchcock film. Okay, so here's the deal, guys. The 25th of September, 2012, the third round of the League Cup at Elland Road, Leeds United 2, Everton 1.
I went that game. It was horrible. It was horrible. Never been to Leeds since.
Note to Quizmaster John, you're damaging, bringing up some old wounds. All right, just saying. So, Terry, I'm not sure if you have this close of a tie to this match as Max, but we'll find out soon enough. You're first. Let's go.
If I win this, it's a complete fluke because I have no memory of this game. I completely forgot about it, and I still can't remember it, but Tim Howard? No. League Cup game, reserve keeper.
You've got to be kidding me! The very first, Max, what do you have?
Sylvain Distan.
That is the easiest win Max has ever had.
I realised as soon as I said it, it's like, no, it is.
Just to confirm it in me, oh man, was Sylvain Distan captain for that game?
I don't know if he was captain for that game.
Okay.
That is information I don't have based on the old screenshots that I was given. I do not know. It's a good question. Okay. So, Max has already won. I don't know if we need to continue the intense quiz music.
I'd be intense. That's a little bit too much.
It's like it's very much like that South Park. Like, thanks for opening your account. I see your money right here, and it's gone. All right, so let's just continue this as though that didn't happen, even though Max is gonna get to pick a track because he is the winner. Terry, what do you got, man?
I don't know.
No pressure on this now. You've already lost.
Leighton Baines.
Leighton Baines. No. This is amazing. Max, what do you got?
Johnny Huizenga.
Yes, Huizenga. You're going straight center backs first, I know. Yes. Very nice. All right, so Terry, third time's a charm.
Stephen Pienaar.
Yes, he subbed in the early second half. Okay. Max.
Seamus,
yes. That is true. Terry?
Darren Gibson? No. Let Max name the team. Oh my god.
Max, name the team before Terry, you know, implodes over there. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm going to jump around with the formation of it now because I don't know.
That's fine.
Victor and Anichibi up front.
Yes, that's true. That is good.
Jelovic feature too.
Jelovic came in 65th minute.
Gonna say Oviedo at left back because I don't think Baines
Oviedo at left back, yes.
Jelovic played, I say Naismith played as well.
What was that?
I say Naismith played as well. If Jelovic played, usually yep. In the same team together.
Jan Osman, he played every game around that time. Well, no, again. Oh
no,
my God.
Terry!
I don't even support Devin. What the hell?
Fellaini. Because I know it.
Yes.
I had
yes, he started.
Yes, he started. That season.
I wasn't joking when I said I didn't remember this game. It wasn't like, you know, exaggerating. I really don't.
No, I thought you were just exaggerating. You know, you were going to get a few. Dang. This is. All right. Max, what do you got?
Morales.
Yes. He started.
Can't think. No. What positions? Just give me a bit of an.
You've got a keeper and.
Jan Mucha.
Yep.
If it's not Howard.
And you've got a wing.
P. Medina, Naismith.
Name them.
Can't think. Guy. One.
Do what?
That guy gay?
Yes.
God. Of all the players, I got him.
Of all the players, Terry. And there's one more name who I, as far as starters, and then the player that came in for this exact same player.
Central midfield.
I believe that is true. But I did not get to see this player play much.
If it's not Darren Gibson, I remember it was Moises last season. It's not Phil Neville, because Phil Neville's not playing, is he?
Subbed in. This player. Yes, subbed in early second half for this player.
Is it a youth player?
Rodwell?
I believe he was pretty young, but to be honest with you, like I said, I don't have much experience with this player.
Okay.
It's interesting. There's a clue in his name. When you said, is it a youth player, this part of his name makes it sound like...
Francisco Junior.
Yes.
Portuguese, what a guy.
Yeah.
I thought he'd make it, thought he'd be one of those that come through and be a beast in the first team, but...
Yeah. Other subs on the... Oh, what was that?
No, I was going to say, based on that clue, it would have still been wrong. I'd have said Dan Gosling, because Gosling is a baby.
God, that's hilarious. That's great, though.
It would have made sense, but still not right.
It would have. It would have been overly clever. Like, too clever. So, other subs that were on the bench, Howard, Duffy, Jagielka, Velios. And the goal scorers for Leeds were A.D. White in the 4th minute, Rodolphe Austin in the 70th.
Distan scored in
the 81st minute. And that was our only goal. So, Max,
yes, sir.
You have completed what I would say is a rare blowout. And Terry, I think I would say this is a fluke. And I'm sorry. I feel like you're the one who needs the hugs today. I'm sorry. Okay. So, Max, what is the track you want to close out to show the show?
More money, more problems, Biggie Smalls.
More money, more problems, Biggie Smalls. Okay, so why?
Weird one, really. I was having a job interview the other day, and very strange, me and another candidate in the room, obviously, like, being interviewed, and we were given, like, a group task. We were given, like, a set of questions. What's your name? Where are you from? What did you want to be when you were younger? If you could have one wish come true, if you could be stuck in a lift with anyone, who would it be? And if you could have one wish come true, what would that be? And the person who I was having to work with just said that they wanted to be rich, and as part of the task we had to read out what their wishes were. So I was saying it, I just went up, they said, they wish they could be richer. It solves a lot of problems, but more money, more problems. I didn't think anyone would get the reference, but the fellow who was interviewing me went, as the song goes, I was like, yes. He knows.
Nice. Yeah. That's nice.
That's right, that's been on the subconscious lately.
Very cool, and I know you're big on the rap artists from around that time.
East Coast, West Coast. I don't really like Biggie, though. I'm a Tupac fan. Don't like Biggie.
I was gonna ask you. I thought for some reason you were a Biggie guy. For some reason, I don't know why.
No, I mean, I've got admiration for his talent. Very talented guy.
Yeah.
Biggie's a bitch. I like Tupac.
Great.
Try to get Tupac.
I'm on a different. I've wandered onto a different podcast here.
What just happened? Oh, that's hilarious. That's a nice little quote when they put together the Toffee Blues, collage. Max calling Biggie Beach. There you go. So as we're serenaded by the soothing voice of Biggie Smalls, more money, more problems. it's time to end the Talking Blues podcast. If you've been listening, we really appreciate it. But if you're sitting there thinking, wow, these guys, I want to see which ones wear glasses and which ones don't, you should check out our YouTube channel. I realize this is super important information, but yeah, check that out. You can actually see us speak. Yeah, so it's not just listening to the voices. And you can actually see our varied backdrops. Yeah, they're very different.
I look like I'm being held hostage, don't I? I look like I should be holding up a newspaper with the date on it. It's just because the lighting, Jerry, the lighting for me, that's just not good enough. It doesn't cut it.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's also the fact that you're kind of in, like, an apartment kind of thing where you haven't been able to, like, just plaster everything you want in your background, you know what I mean? So... It's just the way it works.
My background looks like I've got a virtual girlfriend. I haven't, but my background would suggest that I might have.
I'm not even following that up. It's too good by itself. So anyway, if you want more Terry, check out the Liverpool Echo Fan Jury. Check out his Twitter and check out him in real life if you enjoy... firm embrace. If you want more Max, he's got his own podcast thing happening. It's about the business of football. Check it out, the Carlisle Podcast. It's a Max Carlisle joint. So there's that. Yeah, enjoy it. And you know what, guys? Just check out the Toffee Blues website in general. There's all things Everton on there. And follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I do. Just saying. All right. So that's it. I think we're gonna wrap it up. Max, good to see you, man. Good to chat with you. Glad you're doing well. And good luck soothing your university blues. I think you'll be
Thank
all right.
You. I hope
you're
so.
You're too smart and too disciplined. You'll be fine.
We'll see.
I know. Yeah. And Terry, I think your background is fine. I made no assumptions about any kind of, you know, AI playmates you might have. Just saying, mainly because I probably have a lot of friends who have that same type of stuff in their house. So there's that. I'm talking about the Avengers posters and the figurines, not the virtual girlfriends. Okay, so Terry, much love to you, man. Thanks so much.
Take it easy, guys.
All right, for these two and myself, much love to all the Blues out there. Let's grab 3 this weekend. All right, bye.